It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White, is alongside Owen Pulley in HD1 Studios, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
It is time for the Sports Spotlight. Owen, you're just disappointing us every single time.
I had to mentally prepare because we have a special episode today. I had to mentally get myself going.
Is this like the old days when they have the CBS or the ABC after school special? This is a very special edition.
Yeah, this is very special. Cue the March Madness intro.
Do you even have that?
I think. Look it up. Look it up.
Thank you.
Welcome to March.
I'm Greg Gubbel from New York. Oh.
I don't know if we have it in the system.
Man, you guys don't know. I mean, now they have like all the games playing on all the different CBS and Viacom channels.
You have TV. Like the, you the guys don't one remember. Channel where you have like eight games going at one time.
You guys don't remember, like, you would get the, like, Montana State versus something, and you'd have to watch it because that was the only game you got.
Yeah. And then they show the scores and like the top.
Right, and then they would do live look-ins, and then occasionally if that game was like a blowout, then they would switch games. And Greg Gumbel would come, we're going to take you now to Boise, Idaho, where Southern Mississippi State is playing Eastern Armhair Tech. Jim Smanarkle and John Easter on the call. And then you'd just like go in and they'd move you around. But anyway, yeah, those were good times.
But yeah, we have a good show today. I'm your host, Jackson White, here with Owen Pulley and John Easter.
Who? I don't know that guy.
And I don't know.
And you can, you know, by my rendition of the CBS March Madness theme, you can see why I don't sing. So there you go.
I thought you were going to sing the national anthem every game next year for the boys team.
Right.
For PA.
Oh, say. I
won't do that. But there's a lot going on in the sports world.
There is.
March Madness
is
upon us.
Lots to report, too, with the Colts and free agency.
Said no one. The Colts have not done anything but re-signed Mo Alie-Cox.
Oh, I was excited.
So excited. No quarterback on the roster besides one.
Sam Ellinger.
Pain. But we'll talk about that. NFL free agency. To the Jaguars spending every single bit of money they have for players who are nowhere worth the money.
All $12 that they have.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of money. They spent it all, though. And
Shad Khan has a lot of money.
And they released their best defensive player because they signed all these players in Miles Jack. So, yeah. How about them Jaguars?
Good time to be a Jags fan.
Shout out Jags fans. But we're going to break down the March Madness tournament first. And we're going to... As it's kind of just something we're going to, this can kind of be the official.
This is the WBDG official sports spotlight bracket.
So practically what we're going to do is we're going to go through every game. And since there's three of us, there will be a winner of a vote that will have two votes. And then one possibly could have three or one. So we're going to just break it down. And whatever team gets the most votes out of the three of us,
that's the one that will advance.
So we're going to start with a Gonzaga. And Georgia State, and I think that's obvious. I'm going Georgia State. I'm Gonzaga.
Yeah, I got to go with Gonzaga. One seed.
Yep, they're through to the second round.
And then you have Memphis and Boise State. And this one is kind of an interesting game, as Memphis is a 3-1 versus top 25 teams, and Boise State has only played one game, and they've lost. So Memphis does have a lot of winning coaches on their staff. They have the former Pistons coach in the early 2000s on their staff. Larry Brown.
Of course, they're also coached by Penny Hardaway.
Penny Hardaway. Yep.
It's their head coach.
So I'm going to take Memphis.
Memphis. Go with Memphis.
Well, it doesn't matter what I think then. I was going to take Boise State, but you guys, the majority wins. So Memphis.
Majority wins. So now we have UConn and New Mexico State. And I think this UConn.
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 And then we have Arkansas and Vermont.
I'm taking Vermont.
You're taking Vermont?
Yep.
I mean, March Madness, you got to take his risk, but I think I got to go with Arkansas on this one.
It's down to me. Yeah, I'll take Vermont. Why not?
Oh,
I'll go for the upset.
I will say upset I went to the game last year. It was the Elite Eight game when it was at Lucas Oil Stadium between Baylor and Arkansas. And I will say, Arkansas has the most annoying fan base you can ever meet in your life. It was so bad.
Uh-huh.
So then we have Alabama and Rutgers or Notre Dame, which will most likely be Rutgers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take Alabama.
I got to go with Rutgers.
Alabama.
And there we go. Alabama moves on. And now we have Texas Tech and Montana State. Texas Tech.
Tech.
Red Raiders.
Yeah, so the Texas Tech moves on, and then we have Michigan State and Davidson. Davidson, formerly known for Stephen Curry.
Yep.
He's not on the team now anymore. Michigan State.
They are 27-6, though.
I mean, like I've said, March Madness is all about the upsets. You got to have that one, so I got to give it to Davidson. I mean, it's not a huge upset, but
still.
It comes
down to me.
Davidson.
I am going to pick the 10 seed Davidson.
Wow,
over Michigan
Davidson
State.
Moving past Coach Izzo.
I have not been impressed at all with Michigan State in the times I've seen them this year. And we know Coach Izzo was at the regional working hard. So
drinking his Pepsi and
he was
analyzing.
On his phone.
Yeah. I think he was just analyzing.
Yeah.
Something. He was on his phone the whole game.
And Owen did get a nod from him, though.
He hit me with the. Yeah, he gave me the nod. Because
he
cool.
said good luck in the tournament, and he nodded. And okay. then we picked Davidson.
Sorry, Izzo.
Sorry, Coach Izzo. But now we move on to Duke and CSU Fullerton.
Cal State Fullerton?
Yeah.
I've already penciled in Duke. But
yeah, Duke is fine. Take the Blue Devils.
And now we have a Baylor.
This is in the East Regional.
East
Regional. So
now we've
moved that. That is our first round. Do we want to pick the rest of that regional, or do we want to continue down the first round?
Let's go round by round.
Okay. All right. Here we go to the East Regional.
And we have Baylor.
Bears of Baylor, the defending national champions.
Yep. The name, I don't know.
Norfolk State.
Yeah. Norfolk State out of Virginia.
I'll take Baylor.
Yeah.
Go Bears.
Yeah, I think the Bears move along here. They're not Virginia.
Unless your name is UMBC, then you're not beating a one seed.
Right, right.
And now we have a matchup that is quite
interesting. I like this matchup a lot.
So you have North Carolina and Marquette.
Yeah, this is a good matchup.
Yeah.
This might be the closest matchup we have of round one.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go with the Golden Eagles of Marquette in
this
game.
I'm taking Marquette as well.
I'm taking Marquette.
So, yeah.
Didn't matter what I said, but I'm taking Marquette.
Marquette this season is 6-6 versus top 25, and UNC 2-4.
They play in the Big East, which I think is a better conference this year than the ACC.
So now we have St. Mary and Indiana or Wyoming, and I'm going to take Indiana.
You're taking the Hoosiers?
I'm taking the Hoosiers.
You know what? I'm going to – I did see St. Mary's. They did beat Gonzaga. They throttled Gonzaga, in fact, in one game this year, but in their West Coast Conference tournament. St. Mary's came back. I think the Hoosiers got a good draw here. So I like you guys are going to take the Indiana Hoosiers.
I will say, though, I do think if IU plays St. Mary's, IU will win. But I think if Wyoming beats Indiana, St. Mary's will beat Wyoming.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see that. But we're penciling in IU.
We're penciling in IU.
So now we have UCLA versus Arcon? Or
Akron.
The Zips. Akron.
Yeah, that's where LeBron's from.
That's where my grandpa went to college.
Right.
So UCLA went from the first four to the final four last year.
Yep.
Coached by Mick Cronin, one of my favorite coaches of college basketball. Got Johnny Juicing. And, of course, Bill Walton seems to do every game on ESPN. The Conference of Champions, the Pac-10.
Now the Pac-12.
Yeah. I'm going to go with UCLA.
Yeah, I'll take the Burns.
Yep.
Bruins.
Go Bruins.
The Barons?
I meant to say Bruins. Okay. It just came out wrong. And then now we have Texas and Virginia Tech.
The Horns versus the Hokies.
Hook 'em.
You like the Longhorns?
In this game, yeah.
I'm going to go take a... Texas is 3-8 versus top 25.
Big 12 was a really good conference this year.
Yeah, I'll still take Texas.
Taking Texas. It really doesn't matter what I think. I think the Hokies will give them a good run.
Now we have
Texas.
Purdue versus Yale. I'm just going to pencil in Purdue.
Although it is not uncommon for the Ivy League to give people trouble.
And Purdue choking in March Madness.
But
I remember a long time ago, Purdue lost to Little Rock.
I remember last year, Purdue was like the fourth seed, and they lost to North Texas.
Yep.
Yeah, North Texas did not make it this year.
Nope.
So Purdue's kryptonite is out.
What is it, the mean green? Or no, that's...
I think North Texas mean green. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking Thundering Herd of Marshall, and then I got that wrong.
So this next matchup is really juicy.
Yeah, so you have Murray State, which has a record of 30-2.
That is just ridiculous.
That's a crazy record.
And then you have... The other team they're playing.
San Francisco. So you have the whole city of San Francisco versus a guy named Murray.
I think Murray can pull it off.
Yeah. I want to say Murray State.
You're going to go with those two? Well, again, you guys kind of picked it. I was going to pick San Francisco, but majority rules.
Majority rules. And then we have Kentucky versus St. Peter's.
I'm going to definitely go with St. Peter's in this. No, I mean Kentucky. The Wildcats may be a sleeper team to win it all this year.
Yeah, they could be. Kentucky.
And now we have in the South.
Move over to the South.
And you have Arizona versus, this is initials.
Texas Christian College or Texas A&M.
It's something? Actually Wright State or Bryant.
Oh, that's a different play. Bryant. Yes. I'm thinking of.
Bryant. Oh. I'm picking
Bryant.
Arizona.
Arizona's a really, really good basketball team. I've seen them play a couple of times when I've been up late at night. Just a really good basketball team. And, you know, you can say what you want about them being in the tournament just 1 year after being under FBI investigation.
Yeah.
But, hey, they could win it all. So, Arizona.
And you have Seton Hall and TCU.
Again, another Big East team here.
And
it's an American? I think the TCU's in the American?
Yeah. I thought they're in the Big 12.
Are they in the Big 12? Okay. I get confused sometimes.
I'm going to take TCU.
Texas Christian over Seton Hall.
Because TCU is 5-6 in the top 25. What are you 25.
Thinking? I'm going to go. I can see that happening. I've never been. It seems like Seton Hall, with the exception of the couple of runs they've had in the tournament, they never seem to live up to their expectations. So I could go with TCU.
Yeah, TCU. That's what I was thinking.
Now we have Houston versus UAB.
I'm going to pick Houston.
I'm going with UAB. I think that's going to be the big upset this year. There's always typically 12-5. We already took IU as that 12-5, but I think there's going to be another 12-5.
Possible.
Well, I'm taking Houston. So
come on.
Kelvin Sampson, I'm not the biggest fan, but he is a great tournament coach. He coached at Oklahoma and led them to a Final Four. Has coached at Indiana, where he got fired because he, you know, made too many phone calls, which is now legal, by the way, in the NCAA. But back then it wasn't, and he was silly and, you know, did it at Oklahoma, got under sanctioned by the NCAA, and then did it again in Indiana. And there were some other things too that happened during his time at IU, but yeah, we forgive him. But anyway, moving on.
Now we have Illinois versus Chattanooga.
Illinois.
This is an intriguing matchup.
This really is. Just always a team that you always see in the tournament.
Man, the Big Ten. Every time you buy into the Big Ten, it seems like they just have a big flat tire when they get to the tournament.
I mean, they have 9 teams in there, and I guarantee by the end of the first round, there's going to be like 4.
I think Brad Underwood blows a head gasket in this game somehow, but I still think the Illini are probably the better team. I am tempted to go with Chattanooga in the upset, but I'll take the Illini.
I mean, screw it. Let's go Chattanooga. Go Mox.
It comes down to Jackson.
I mean, I'm going to take Illinois. But
I wouldn't be surprised if Chattanooga pulls this off.
Yeah, I don't know. Illinois does have a senior who is 55, been there for 20 years.
It seems like every Big Ten team, Davidson at Wisconsin, and the guy from the kid that hit the shot to beat Iowa, Bohannon at Iowa.
Yeah, Bohannon.
Yeah.
Then Kobe Cockburn at, or Coburn at
Illinois. Kofi Coburn, good athlete.
And now you have Colorado State versus a team that, in all reality, probably shouldn't even be in the tournament, Michigan.
Michigan.
Yeah, at least in the, they should have not been.
And they're playing in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take Colorado State and knock them out.
Yep.
See, I'm going to take the Wolverines.
Just in spite of Michigan, let's go Colorado.
Okay.
I'm just full despise of them.
Yep.
Because I don't think they, I think Hoosiers should be there, at least if Michigan made it in. But that's besides the point. Now we have Tennessee versus Longwood. I'm going to take Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee is underseeded here. Mm-hmm. I think they probably should have gotten, I think Duke should be here. I think they should be a three seed.
What are they, a five?
They're a three.
They're a three?
I think Tennessee should have been a two seed.
Yeah, Tennessee's had a really good year.
Or Purdue should have been that two seed, but I think Purdue kind of shot themselves in the foot with that loss in the Big Ten championship in Iowa. But, yeah, I agree. Tennessee's one of those teams that could very well win it all.
Yeah.
And then we have Ohio State and what's her
Sister
name?
Sister Jean's. Loyola Chicago. Ramblers.
Loyola Chicago, I think they're a better team, especially when it comes to March with their history in here, and I think that they're just going to beat Ohio State.
They're the bracket busters.
They always have been.
Not anymore. We're picking on their trend.
Yeah, they're a 10 seed. They're 25-7. Have the youngest coach in Division 1A basketball.
Yeah, after their one guy stepped
Porter
down.
Moser went to Oklahoma.
Yep. And, yeah, he's like, there's a picture of him. You can't, if they weren't wearing uniforms and stuff, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart from the kids.
So you guys are taking
I'm taking Loyola.
Yep.
All right, then I'll pencil it in. I won't even vote.
Again, I just think the Big Ten always lays an egg in the tournament. So
now we have Villanova versus Delaware.
Nova.
The Fighting Bidens of Delaware. That's where he went to to college. But that was, you know, long
time
ago.
Think, what are they, the Blue Hens?
Yes, they are.
And the Wildcats.
Villanova, one of the best coaches in the country, Jay Wright.
Yep.
So now we have Kansas versus
Texas Southern or Texas A&M of CC, wherever that is.
I would imagine Texas.
Kansas.
You actually have a Texas battle in that other playing game.
Hey, you're fighting for bragging rights of making the tournament or making the 64.
I think it is Texas A&M of Corpus Christi. Corpus Christi.
That's what I thought of. Yep, I couldn't remember if it was like Christian or.
You know, Texas Southern has a soft place in my heart because Mike Davis, former Indiana coach there, led them to the NCAA. But I mean, obviously, there's a reason why they're a 16 seed. So let's go with the Kansas Jayhawks. Rock Chuck, Jayhawk.
And now we have San Diego State versus Creighton.
This is another one of those West Coast Conference teams, which was a really deceptively strong conference this year with Gonzaga. I'm sorry, that's a Mountain West. San Diego State's a Mountain West. I'm just getting my conferences all mixed up. So you got Creighton from the Big East here, and you got San Diego State, which doesn't have Steve Fisher anymore, who used to coach there. You know what? I'll take the Blue Jays. I'll take Creighton.
I'm taking Creighton.
Creighton. So we've got Creighton moving through.
And now we have Iowa and Richmond.
The Spiders of Richmond, a great nickname.
I love their nickname, but I think that Iowa's going to win.
I'll take Iowa.
Iowa's playing really, really,
coming
really
off
good
that
basketball
Big
right
Ten,
now.
Coming off that Big Ten title.
Even though I don't like Fran McCaffrey, he's got that team playing just really, really good basketball right
now.
And
they played pretty well last year in March. They only won one game, but Luka Garza.
I think if there's a Big Ten team that might be a threat to make it to the Elite Eight, Iowa might be it.
Yeah.
And Purdue.
Yeah.
Iowa might be it.
And IU. No, not IU. Maybe.
Iowa might be it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's what I'm saying.
And now we have Providence and South Dakota State.
Providence, I think, is ranked really high this year.
They're really good, though.
They are.
Providence. But I think they're a sleeper team.
I don't know.
At a four seed, Providence, that's a really good four seed. So I'm taking Providence.
I'm taking Providence.
I know it doesn't matter, but South Dakota State.
Okay.
What?
I Providence is good this year.
They have been, but I just think they're really high as a four seed.
So next up, LSU with all their problems right now.
Don't have a coach. They have an interim coach.
Iowa State.
I'm going to take the upset, Iowa State.
Yeah. Iowa State.
I don't think it's that much of an upset.
Yeah, at this point, is it really an upset?
No, not really. And now we have Wisconsin and Colgate.
Toothbrush versus Badgers.
I was surprised that Wisconsin got a three seed, to be honest. I thought they were more, should have been on the four line.
Another Big Ten team with a high ranking.
I like Wisconsin in this game.
I'll take Wisconsin. Then we have USC versus Miami.
This can go either way.
I'm going to take Miami.
I think Miami is a safe option here.
All right. Doesn't matter what I think.
What were you thinking, Mr. Easter?
I was going to go with USC, but Pac-12.
Doesn't matter. No, I'm just kidding.
And then now we have Auburn and Jacksonville State.
Jacksonville State?
Jackson.
Urban.
Auburn. I'm taking Auburn.
Urban.
Urban Meyer. I'm taking Urban Meyer.
Auburn could be a team that wins it all this year.
All right. So now we got to speed these up because we've got
I'm on time against
the time.
So now we have Gonzaga, Memphis.
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
I'll take the Zags.
And now we have UConn, Vermont.
UConn.
UConn. Alabama, Texas Tech.
Ooh, Tech.
Texas Tech.
Tech.
Tech. Davidson, Duke.
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 Baylor, Marquette.
Baylor.
Baylor.
I agree.
UCLA, IU.
UCLA.
Texas, Purdue.
Purdue.
Texas.
Wow. I'm taking Purdue, though.
All right.
Murray State, Kentucky.
UK.
Murray State.
I'm taking Kentucky.
Okay.
Arizona, TCU.
Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona.
I agree.
Illinois, Houston.
Ooh, good one.
This is a good one.
I'll take Illinois.
I'll take Illinois.
Tennessee, Colorado State.
Tennessee.
Volunteers,
Villanova,
baby.
And the Ramblers.
Villanova.
Ramblers.
I'll take Villanova.
We got to, you know, at this point, though, you do need to pick some sort of upset team. We haven't done that yet. All right.
I've been trying.
Kansas, Creighton.
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 Creighton. Yeah. Why not?
Sure.
Right. That may be the wrong point, but hey.
Nope, that's definitely the wrong choice, but we're going to roll with it.
It doesn't matter.
It's
Iowa,
March.
Iowa Providence.
Oh, that is a juicy second round game. Oh, mm-hmm. That's one I'm going to be watching.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Hawkeyes. I'm high on the Hawkeyes.
I'm going
right
with
now.
The Friars.
I'm taking Providence.
Yeah, all right.
And now we have Iowa State and Wisconsin.
Whiskey. Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'll take Wisconsin. Then Miami, Auburn.
Auburn.
All right, so we now move into the Sweet 16. We have UConn and Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
Yeah, I'll take it. So I got the Texas Tech Duke.
Texas Tech.
I'm taking Texas Tech.
Yeah, I was going to take Duke, but goodbye, Coach K.
Goodbye,
farewell.
Coach K. Baylor, UCLA.
UCLA.
UCLA?
Well, I was going to take Baylor, but UCLA.
The Bears versus the Bruins.
Purdue, Kentucky.
Bears.
Yeah. Purdue, UK. Kentucky.
I'll take Purdue.
Purdue.
Ah!
Purdue moves on. Arizona, Illinois.
Illinois.
I'll take Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Tennessee, Villanova.
Tennessee.
That's a really good one.
Tennessee.
Yeah. I was going to say Villanova, but Tennessee.
Providence, Creighton.
Providence.
Creighton.
Providence. And then Wisconsin, Auburn.
You have Providence in your lead eight? Wow. Auburn. Wait, you said it's Auburn.
Auburn.
Auburn who?
In Wisconsin.
Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn.
Auburn. And now we move
into like
the...
All right.
All right.
So here we go.
Elite Eight. So we have Gonzaga, Texas Tech. This is going to be a good one.
Texas Tech.
Zags.
Texas Tech has a really good top 25 record. They score a lot of points, but Gonzaga scores a lot more.
Yeah,
I'll take the Jags.
The Jags.
All right. First Final Four team, Gonzaga.
Purdue and UCLA.
I mean, I've been on UCLA for a while, but you guys seem to like Purdue, so.
Purdue.
I'll take Purdue.
Purdue's
like,
in the Final Four.
I like Ivy. He's going to be a Pacer, so.
All right.
And Edie, what I think is Edie.
I don't know.
Purdue does like to choke big games.
Yeah, you guys made the choice. Arizona, Tennessee.
Oh, this is going to be a good one. I'm going to take Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then we have Providence, Auburn.
Auburn.
Providence.
I want to take Providence.
Auburn's a team that could win the title. If they stay consistent, they can win.
Providence
it all.
Is really good.
I know, but.
Well, sorry.
All right, Providence, put it in.
So now we got Gonzaga and Purdue in the Final Four.
And now I'm going to take Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. It's the end of the road for the Boilermakers.
Yeah, I've had them out for a while.
And now Tennessee, Providence. This is going to be a good one.
Tennessee.
Yeah, I'll take Tennessee.
I guess I'm going with Tennessee.
Well, you haven't picked Providence now for the last three
rounds.
I want
Providence to be a first round exit.
And then your national championship game, as the Sports Spotlight bracket has it, the Gonzaga Bulldogs, not the Zags, but Gonzaga Bulldogs against the Volunteers of Tennessee. Rick Barnes, who is notoriously not a very good tournament coach, by the way, but Rick Barnes in Tennessee against Mark Few and Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
I think Gonzaga finally wins one.
Gonzaga taking it home.
Yep. They were our national champion. Year,
but we
Gonzaga.
Have to pick a score.
72-68. I'm out of here.
72-68. You like that score?
I'm gonna bump up the Bulldogs a tad. I'll stay 76-68.
I'll go with you.
76-68 as Owen walks out on us.
There we go.
There it is. The final.
The bracket from the Sports Spotlight picks Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
Okay, we can't hear you. You're off mic.
Yeah, Owen's trying to talk to us. But
Owen's trying to talk, and I've got earphones on, and yeah. That was fun.
Yeah. Obviously, we're going to all each other do a bracket tomorrow, so we'll release that and see. Or obviously, I think we're all three going to probably pick Gonzaga. I don't know.
I don't know if I will or not.
We'll see. But, yeah, we're probably going to do that tomorrow at some point, and then we'll release that Thursday. But we're going to take a quick break, come back with NFL free agency, as the Colts have yet to do anything. So,
breaking news, the Colts have yet to do anything.
The chips are, I don't know where those chips are at, but we need to find them and put them in because they haven't been put in yet.
The chips are still in the restaurant. We'll put it that way.
So, hey, we'll be right back on Sports Spotlight.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
First, I hold my hands out like they're on a steering wheel. Then I look over my shoulder. One, okay, cool guy. Two, three times. Next, oh, I put it in reverse. Meep, meep, meep. Then I take it up and down, up, up and down. And that, kiddos, is called the forklift.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids.
Now that's dancing. Sure beats flossing.
Visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I work out every day. COVID won't kill me.
I'm 24. COVID won't kill me.
I have antibodies. COVID won't kill
me. It's been a long week. COVID won't kill me.
I'm 25. COVID won't kill me.
I'm partying outside. COVID won't kill
me.
I
don't need to wear a mask around my friends. COVID won't kill
me. I'm 23. COVID won't kill me.
If I haven't gotten it yet, COVID won't kill me.
I'm young. COVID won't kill me.
Famous last words. Don't let them be yours. Socially distance. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
And we will now send you back to the Sports Spotlight with your hosts, Jackson White and Owen Poole. And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight in part two of the show. I'm your host, Jackson White, here with John Easter.
Where? Oh, I'm here.
As Owen leaves us once again.
Yeah.
But in our previous part of the show, we did a March Madness bracket, as the majority won the bracket, and Gonzaga was your national champion.
Yep, so go ahead and fill out your brackets based on that. We'll take a photo and post that up on our Twitter account.
Yeah, that'll be up shortly after the show, and then you can see if you agree, disagree. You can follow us on Twitter, @S_spotlight, and there's all kinds of sports stuff over there, especially what's going on in the NFL, which is a big talking point right now in the world of sports, as free agency is happening. The Indianapolis Colts are not participating. but lots of other teams are, especially the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're going to get into it. Probably the biggest free agent signing of the whole entire thing has to be the Chargers, as they signed J.C. Jackson, the cornerback who originally played for the New England Patriots, had over 10, a bunch of interceptions. He goes on a massive deal, but just a huge one. It's going to be a three-year, $54 million deal.
That's some bank right there.
So, wow, that's just a crazy one. And then Christian Kirk going to a Jaguar, the Jacksonville. That is it.
Was that a three-year, $30 million deal? Is that what I saw?
Let me just check this out. This website I'm on is quite confusing. 4 years, 72.
There you go.
So it's going to be $21 million a year for a guy who's never had over 1,000.
Wow. Good for him, though.
Good for him. His agent, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day.
Yeah.
But that is just crazy. Yeah. Whenever I saw that. Now you look down, you have Marcus Williams going to Baltimore. That's something that happened today. 5 years, $70 million. He was originally a New Orleans Saint. He's the guy who Diggs caught that pass over to make it to the NFC Championship game. So, sorry.
Right.
And then you have Randy Gregory staying. This says he's going to Denver. I thought he was staying with Dallas. 5 years, $70 million. I did not know that. Brandon Scherff, the Jacksonville Jaguars, boosting their offensive line, protecting Trevor Lawrence, getting Brandon Scherff, 3 years, $49 million. And Forche Ukulukun, I messed that up
probably easy for you to say.
Really bad. But the Jags making another purchase there, 3 years, $45 million. I don't know where they're getting this money. Hassan Reddick, an edge rusher I thought the Colts should target. He's the guy who played for Carolina last year. Colt said, no, we don't sign free agents. He's going to Philly, 3 years, $45 million. Larry Okabajubi, D-tackle. I probably messed his last name up really bad. 3 years, $40 million to Chicago. Chartavius Ward, the Kansas City cornerback, now going to San Francisco for 3 years, $40 million. And just kind of looking down this list, Alex Coppa, whatever. He's the left guard now he was for the Super Bowl team over there in Tampa Bay, as it is Tampa Bay again. Tampa Bay is back. Tom Brady announcing that he is back just a couple days ago. So Tampa Bay is back, so I can say that again. But he's going to Cincinnati, so Joe Burrow gain, Tom Brady loss. And Burrow finally gets a confident offensive lineman to help protect him. Justin Reed, the former Houston safety, going to Kansas City, most likely replacing Tyrann Mathieu. And Tyrann Mathieu's a guy who could be on the watch to come to a couple teams.
Not the Colts, though, because they don't sign free agents.
But if they were to sign him, I'd be happy with our free agency, because that guy is a stud. And he would just boost our safety unit that has been weak, to say the least, of late. But probably not. We'll go out and get a backup and start him, knowing us. But, yeah. Just looking down this list, Zay Jones is a guy from the Vegas.
Raiders.
Las Vegas. And
you just combined Las Vegas and the Raiders together.
Yeah, he's going to Jacksonville again for 3 years, $24 million. And just going down this list, Mark Orinsky is out of the Colts, going to the Giants for 3 years, $18 million. And just lots of roles. Actually, Mitchell Trubisky on the move. He's going to be going to Pittsburgh as they're most likely their starter, 2 years, $14 million. And just the quarterbacks, just Drendel.
And then you've got somebody stepping out today, Andrew Whitworth with the Rams. You know, there have been some questions about whether he would come back, but he is retiring.
Yeah, so the Rams lose their best.
He wins the NFL Man of the Year and walks out the door. Super Bowl NFL Man of the Year and deuces, I'm out.
And he was up there, too. That's the way to go. He was up there in age.
Yep.
And he walked out in the sunset.
Yeah.
To say the least. Chase Edmonds, the receiver now for the running back for the Cardinals, now going to Miami on a 2-year, $12 million deal. Evan Engram, a guy who was linked to the Colts, says, no, I'm going to go to the Jaguars. 1 year, $9 million.
Probably
the one time,
because he knows the Colts don't sign free agents.
Man, the Colts called him, hey, you want $3? Nah, I'll go to Jacksonville and lose 10 games. That's besides the point. Teddy Bridgewater going to Miami as a backup quarterback has another potential guy the Colts could have got.
Not coming to the Colts because they don't sign free agents.
Yeah, so that's a 1 year deal worth $6.5 million.
Chris Ballard looks at his roster and says, "Yeah, I'm happy."
Yeah.
Hey Sam, you want to play quarterback?
Please don't. But there is. That was basically the big names that signed. And there's a few other. DJ Chark going to Detroit, the former Jacksonville Jaguar, for a 1 year, $10 million.
Another wide receiver that could have maybe helped.
Any wide receiver can help the Colts at this point, right. But there's still lots of good players who is on the market right now.
Right.
Who's available. You have Von Miller. I don't see him coming here, but that's another big name. Bobby Wagner is linked to our defensive coordinator. Him and Darius Leonard are friends. I mean, that would be a scary good defense.
Does not sign free agents.
Yeah, sadly. Allen Robinson, another receiver who's up there. He's going to want big money, though. You could see Chandler Jones would help boost through the pass rush. Crazily good.
Right.
But no free agents are going to be signed, most likely. Za'Darius Smith, the former Packer, most likely not going to be returning as the Packers have spent all of their money and more. They have been pulling money out of everywhere, and I don't know how they're getting it.
Yeah, especially their public-owned team. So
I just don't get how they have so much money. Aaron Rodgers signed an extension today. He's going to be making like $72 million this year. Like, I know that's like on roster, he's only going to be making like $46 million, but like he's going to make $72 million this year. How do they have money to go out and sign other people? It just doesn't make sense. I don't know.
There's maybe Chris Ballard's loaning the money from the Colts.
Oh, he's giving Green Bay
money.
That's
what it is.
Yeah. Ah, that's why he's not signing for agents. Right. He's helping other people.
Right, exactly.
What a nice guy.
Out of the goodness of his heart.
What a nice guy. pain. And then you have Nate Solder, former Patriots tackle, played for the Giants, got a bunch of money, didn't play well. He's a left tackle. I'm good. Jarvis Landry, a guy who is linked here for some reason, would be a really good number two with Pittman, but probably won't be here. He's in a few-time Pro Bowler.
Why is that?
Why is he linked here?
No, why is he not coming here?
Oh, because we don't sign free
there
agents.
There you go. Come on, play along, Jackson.
And then Devontae Adams is not a free agent, but he's listed on this list. He is going to – says he's not going to play under the franchise tag, so that will be interesting to see what happens in his camp. And then you have Miles Jack, just recently released by the Jaguars, a talented linebacker who can attack the quarterback at times as well. Another guy who could possibly be a Colt one day. Maybe if they spend some money.
On free agents?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they don't do that. So,
right.
Tyrann Mathieu, of course, still one of the most sought-after free agents available. I mean, he's basically, you want this guy on your team. He's such a great guy. If they can, Colts could go get him, that'd be great, but it most likely won't happen. Cam Robinson, a guy who played for the Jags last season, he's a decent left tackle if all else fails for the Colts, but probably not. And Tyrann Armstead, he's a guy who the Colts have been linked to for some reason. He fits the left tackle role. He is 30 years old, a multi-time All-Pro. He want big money, but if you want to have the best offensive line in the league, maybe you go out and get him, but they just don't spend money. Stephon Gilmore is a free agent. He's most likely going to go to a contender, I would assume. Calais Campbell, 35 years old, recently played in Baltimore. I don't see him coming here, but he's another talented defensive tackle who can slide over and attack the quarterback. Jason Pierre-Paul recently played for Tampa Bay. He's 33. He only has 8 fingers on one hand, but he still had 10 sacks last season. Akeem Hicks, 32 years old, played for the Bears, a D-tackle.
Wait, did you say he only has 8 fingers on one hand?
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute.
Oh, he has 8 fingers total.
There you go.
But, yeah.
Because he had the horrible incident with the firework.
But he still had 10
sacks last year.
Pretty remarkable. And he played really elite last year, especially in the playoffs until they lost. But there's lots of other good players. Dwayne Brown is a guy who played for Seattle last year. He's 36, but maybe could come in and play a couple snaps. I don't see him coming here, though. Joe Hayden, the former Steelers cornerback, he's been tossed around maybe. Maybe he'll sign somewhere. I mean, there's lots of really good players. Marcus May played for the Jets, another really sought after free safety. The Colts need help in the safety position. Will Fuller is a guy who had a really good start of his career. Went to Miami, did not do anything. Now back on the open market. Ryan Fitzpatrick, a quarterback. He'll give you 6 wins. Not a playoff berth, though. Fitzmagic. Andy Dalton. No. Please,
the Red Rocket.
Please not the Red Rocket. Kyle Fuller, the former Bronco cornerback, played for the Bears a bunch of years. Struggled last year. You're looking at this list, and it's trendling. And you have former guys who used to be superstars, but they're just not anymore. Dante Hightower played for New England last year. You give him to him 5 years ago, that guy was an all-pro. Now he's the guy not even being signed. Anthony Barr, another guy from Minnesota, a really good linebacker, kind of in the bottom half of his prime. Big Fish is on the open market. He won't be back here. It came out, but Big Fish. Chris Harris Jr., the former Broncos Super Bowl champion cornerback on the market. Another guy who could help a team out. There's a number 13, T.Y. Hilton still.
Eugene, I think his name
Eugene. Eugene Hilton, 32 years of age.
You know where to find him, Colts.
You know where
That's
to find him.
What he says.
And I would expect he's going to be back with the recent hire of Reggie Wayne.
Can't imagine him playing anywhere else at this point.
No, I think he just kind of wants to enjoy the open market for a minute. I don't see him going anywhere else.
Can you imagine any team saying, yeah, we really want T.Y. Hilton on our team? No disrespect to T.Y., but he's a Colt.
Yeah, and he's a Colt, basically. And he's really close to that 10,000 mark. And I think he wants to be the third receiver in history and be the only team ever to have 3 10,000-yard receivers. So that would be kind of big.
Yeah.
And then you have other players like Javion Clowney, played for Cleveland last year. I thought he was going to go back. He played well. And Cleveland says, no, we don't want him back. One of the biggest busts in NFL history, going number one a couple years ago. And now
he's been okay. There have been bigger busts.
Yeah, but
many bigger busts.
Yeah, but
he's been okay.
He's been decent. Recently, though, he hasn't been that good. He had a kind of a resurgence in Cleveland, but now back to the bottom. Juju Smith-Schuster, another receiver who had a really good start of his career. TikTok kind of ruined that, kind of. Statistically, he was still there. But he's a guy who could come in and, if healthy, could give you a kind of a boost to receivers. The Colts, if you're a receiver and you want to play here, please go to Chris Ballard's house and tell him, sign me, because he's not going to go out and sign you. You have to go out and want him to be signed. Rob Gronkowski is another guy who most likely will be returning to Tampa Bay after Brady announced he's coming back. Just looking down this list, it's dwindling. It really is. Eric Ebron's a free agent again. He used to play here. He probably won't be back. Kyle Randolph is a guy linked here for some reason. Cam Newton's a free agent. There you go. There's your guy. this is just disappointing. Emmanuel Sanders is a free agent. He can give you kind of a boost for 8 games he plays. AJ Green. Yeah. I'm just looking at this list and
I'm just wondering if we're going down this list.
I'm just not interested in any of these guys. Jacoby Brissett, he's familiar. You know the Colts
That's
like
your
familiar
guy.
Guys.
Oh
he's
no,
familiar.
It's not. He's a free agent.
Oh, yeah, they have to trade for him.
Maybe. We got to remind.
He'll sign someone. He'll sign somewhere, and then we'll trade for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send two first rounds and, compensation later, stuff like that. I don't know.
But there is one free agent I do think they're going to sign. Is what's his name? The cornerback, played for the Raiders last year. Forget his name.
I don't know. You mentioned every other free agent in history.
Casey Hayward. He will be here next year. Because he follows Gus Bradley everywhere. Casey Hayward will be on the Colts next year, probably. But, yeah. Isaac Rochelle, he's a big TikTok guy for the Colts. Will he be back? I don't know. But it just looks at it, and there's lots of good free agents here. I mean, there's still a lot of talented players.
Yeah, a lot of great free agents that the Colts won't sign.
Yeah. But, yeah, just kind of. Which is disappointing.
Yeah.
The Colts won't sign him, and they have so much money. And, I mean, they say the chips are all in, but they're just not spending any money. And I get it. Like, Jacksonville, I don't know what's going on there. They're spending way too much money for no reason.
Well, and then you kind of just look at the Colts, and they still have those same glaring negatives on their roster that they had last week when we talked about this. I mean, it's just kind of like Groundhog Day every year with Chris Ballard. And, you know, at what point, you know, you always hear that cliche, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and getting the same result. At what point does somebody say, hey, Mr. Ballard, this is the same thing we've done. I mean, we need some results here.
I mean, I don't know.
It's not going to, I mean, it's clearly not bugging Jim Irsay. Or else something would have happened, just like we saw with Carson Wentz. That was bugging Jim Irsay. Yeah, something he's happened.
He's gone. So, it just looks at it. You look at obviously the biggest position on the football field is the quarterback. And you're listening to the Sports Spotlight on WBDG FM HD1, Indianapolis. But the biggest position on the football field is the quarterback. And that's the most important. And as it looks right now, I mean, I've been a person who's tried to convince every other quarterback. It's looking like Garoppolo's going to be the guy next season. I know he hasn't been traded here. But as of right now, all the reports are leading towards the only team interested in Jimmy Garoppolo that does not have a quarterback. Pittsburgh was in on him. Now they have their guy in Trubisky.
You know, makes you wonder why everybody's backing off of him, doesn't it? I mean, if you're somebody who's kind of watching this thing, why are the Colts backing off? Why are the Colts still interested? Everybody else is backing off. Is it the shoulder surgery? I mean, from what I hear, and this is secondhand, I'm obviously not an expert when it comes to this, but what I hear is that he's not going to be ready until training camp.
That's not what you hear is the truth.
We've been here before.
Yeah, I'm like the shoulder surgery, training camp.
It's still going to be a couple of weeks, and he's fine. The surgery, well, it's just a couple weeks.
You know when that happened? The quarterback who they're talking about didn't play that whole year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, he's not going to play.
All season.
And then you still have to give up assets to get him? It boggles the mind, and especially when you have some quality free agent quarterbacks that are sitting out there. That at least, even if you're interested in Jimmy G, right, you want to go get him. At least you could sign somebody like Ryan Fitzpatrick who can win you some games if he's needed.
That's the thing that always got me is even whenever they signed Phillip 2 years ago, I always wanted them to go get a backup, like a solid veteran backup who can come in and win you games. And that's what the Colts did in the early 2010s. They signed Matt Hasselbeck.
Right.
And Matt Hasselbeck, when Luck went down, came in and went 3-3, and the Colts almost made the playoffs.
Well, and you know, when Peyton Manning was the quarterback here, the backup quarterback was Jim Sorgi and Curtis Painter, and those guys were like the Maytag repairman. I mean, they never got any business at all because Peyton Manning was so darn durable. You know, the guy would just pop right up after an injury. Of course, then the big injury happened with his neck,
and he missed the whole year.
He missed the whole year, and it really exposed where the Colts were at that point. Of course, it was a different regime. It was the Polian regime back then. But, you know, that was Bill Polian's philosophy on quarterbacks. It was like, well, you got your starter. He's durable. It's Peyton Manning. We don't need anybody to back Peyton Manning up. And then with Andrew Luck, who we saw was a little bit more injury prone, not early in his career, but definitely as time went on here, the Matt Hasselbeck signing was great because Hasselbeck played in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not unlike Jimmy G, a guy who, you know, played in the Super Bowl, actually has had some success. He had success in Seattle before Russell Wilson. You know, Matt Hasselbeck was the guy.
Matt Hasselbeck was a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
A Pro Bowl quarterback for multiple years. And he's one of the players in the Ring of Honor.
But then you bring him in towards the end of his career here in Indianapolis.
He's a backup.
And he's backup.
He's a really good backup.
So, I mean, at least if you're going to go pursue a guy like Jimmy G, who you aren't 100% sure is going to be ready to start the year, at least go out and get yourself somebody like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who could be pretty cheap, I mean, as far as free agency goes.
Yeah, and I mean, there's all kinds of backup quarterbacks who used to be starters in this league.
And I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick's a guy this city could get behind. Obviously, he's a character.
Fitzmagic.
Yeah. Gardner, I know Gardner Minshew has
been linked here.
I mean, which would be interesting.
I mean, I'm not saying, I mean, he played well in his only game last year at Philly. Like, he went off. And, I mean, he, you know what he did against us.
Right.
He looked like Tom Brady out there week one against the Colts in 2020.
But Gardner Minshew out there. You've got some guys that are available or could be available on the cheap or could be available for not much as far as capital. And then you're going to sink all this into one guy who may or may not be ready at the start of the year.
What it's looking like right now, Jimmy Garoppolo, his trade value is dwindling because the Colts are not pulling the trigger. The Colts are going to wait until the Niners have to get rid of him. And that's when they're most likely going to make the move. The Colts are not going to go to the 49ers and say, we will give you anything you want, Garoppolo, give it to us now. The Colts know that no one else is interested in Garoppolo anymore because they have other guys or they're planning to draft. And the big thing is Deshaun Watson, him being available now, has a bunch of teams unavailable in Garoppolo.
Right, and we heard
the Saints were this close to making a deal for Garoppolo. Now the Saints are all in on Watson.
Right.
So that's why Garoppolo's value has dropped dramatically.
Exactly. And you've heard the Colts have been attempted apparently to talk to Deshaun Watson. I don't know if I buy that. I just can't imagine.
The Texans said, huh.
Right. I mean, one way or another it was denied, but can you imagine this franchise ever having Deshaun Watson as their quarterback with everything that's happened?
I don't know.
I can't imagine this franchise going in that direction.
I mean, besides everything that's happened, he's always been proven to be a really good guy.
I mean, but these are serious allegations, and it wasn't just one.
Well, there's 22.
Exactly. So, and I get that there's no criminal, criminal charges weren't filed, and I'm sure the NFL team that signs him is going to do their due diligence, but there's still civil lawsuits that are pending against him, and that's still going to be
big
headlines.
Yeah.
That you don't want on your team. There's another guy out there that we haven't talked about either that's working out too. Totally different situation. Colin Kaepernick, he's out there. Guy that you could sign, I'm sure, and you could bring him in and get some good headlines, I think, for the Colts.
I mean, depending the Colts on would be, they would sell tickets, they'd sell jerseys. But that, I know obviously Kaepernick hasn't played in 5 years.
Right.
And Kaepernick said, they say he's ready. Colin Kaepernick was not a good quarterback in his last 2 years as a 49ers quarterback.
Let's face it, though, the 49ers weren't a good team either.
He was if he would have stayed in the league on a different team, who knows?
Right.
But I'm not trying to, obviously, what he's all for, I'm all for it. But Kaepernick, from a football standpoint, played poor in his final 2 years.
Right.
And there's a reason he's out of the league.
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons why.
Do I think he'd come in if he wants to take a backup role? I think he's better than probably. I think he's in that 40 to 32 range of where it comes to quarterbacks. He should be a backup, at least. He's better than some backups in this league. That's obvious. But when it comes in for him to be a starter, to win you a Super Bowl,
But he is out there. People are talking about it. Jameis Winston will be coming off an injury.
He's now running. Again, he was looking really good last year for the Saints.
He was.
He got hurt. 14-3 interception ratio. Only guy who was better than him was Carson Wentz at the time. We know how that went out.
But he had 27 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions.
Well, his 7 interceptions were
exactly
triple coverage.
Left-handed. I know that that this is kind of playing into the Colts' hands a little bit here. So, I know we've been kind of hard on Chris Ballard, but I think he's being prudent with the money. You don't just want to do what the Jaguars are doing and just be like...
The Jaguars, that's the most poorly ran team.
Be like the Oprah meme. You get a contract! You get a contract! You don't want to be like that. But it would, I think, be helpful if the Colts at least give some signals about what they want to do. And maybe they don't want to. Maybe they want to keep their poker face on a little longer here. But
these fans are upset.
You know, we were talking about visions earlier in a different context. And you don't see what this – I still don't see what the vision is here in the offseason for this team.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that's
– And again, you know, there are rumors out there. I just saw one on Twitter while we were talking there about Matt Ryan or, you know, something like that. You know, who knows? I mean, could there be something blockbuster in the works with the Colts and Chris Ballard sitting in his office saying, hey, guys, I got it all figured out. And there's some sort of blockbuster in the offing? Sure. Positive. You know, it could happen. But
I don't think it will.
Will it? Are we more than likely, you know, just saying like, ha-ha, I'm smarter than you. We're going to get this for this amount. And, you know, that's the benefit is that sometimes you will get a good player who may get cut or a good player who may fall out of favor or, you know, something may happen that somebody falls to you. But more than likely, good things typically don't come to those who wait when it comes to NFL free agency. You know,
just everything. The Colts could have been all in on Wilson, and I guess they came out and said that was too much.
And I think it was.
I agree.
I don't think they had the assets for that.
No, and if they would have, they would have had to tore apart their core, and I don't think they want to do that for a guy who's 33. But I don't know. Maybe Ballard's in his room getting ready to do something magical, and we're going to be like all that. And that's what the thing is. There's just the sports media. We're just sports media talking about sports. We don't know what's going on in those rooms. We don't know what Chris Ballard could be on the phone right now. He probably is.
He just texted me. That's what that was. It was Chris Ballard.
And he just texted you saying, we're not signing anyone.
We're not signing free agents.
He's actually not even working right now. He's on vacation.
Right, yeah. I don't know where he is, but I think that it's either one of two things. It was like he's smarter than all of us, and he's waiting, and he's got something in the works, and he's got a plan, and he's just not telling anybody. Or we're going at this like he doesn't understand the urgency of what's happening here.
I don't think it's that.
I really don't think it's that. I think he understands the urgency, but I think his philosophy of the urgency is different than yours and mine. And I think that's it.
And I mean, he's proved me wrong so many times. Whenever he drafted Jonathan Taylor, he looked really good, but I'm like, why? You have Marlon Mack, who just came off a really good year. I was wrong, thankfully. I mean, his drafting has been crazily. I mean, this guy can draft. They can draft.
Right.
And I think that's proven. And they've built this team through drafting. So give them credit where it's due. This team can draft. And I think they're going to stay with that. And in all reality, they're going to draft their guys and they're going to pay their guys. And that's the approach. And I mean, obviously, of late, free agency teams have won the title. But the Colts don't want to win one. They want to win five.
Right.
They want to be a dynasty. And to be a dynasty, you have to draft. You cannot sign.
Since, Ryan Grigson and previous coach Chuck Pagano, it was always, we're going to lift multiple Lombardis. And that's always been, like, what the Colts have said. But they've got one.
And Peyton Manning was the quarterback.
They've had two generational talent quarterbacks. They've had all that talent on this roster, and they've got one. And there's a lot of reasons why. You know, it's not just that simple. But there's some things that have happened managerially here that have caused some of that.
Yeah, and, I mean, obviously you go back to it, and we want to draft. We want to hold up multiple Lombardis. We just don't want to hold up one.
Right.
We don't want to buy it. We want to earn it. And, yeah, but to earn a Super Bowl, you got to have a quarterback.
Right.
And in all reality, let's just go looking back at what quarterback won a Super Bowl being one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. Go look back. You won't be able to find it, because if a quarterback is making big money, your team doesn't win. And that's just, I mean, a proven stat. Stafford's making good money, but he's not up there in the top five. He was at one point, but team quarterbacks have passed him now. Brady, he always takes pay cuts. I don't know why no one else does it, because Brady wins. He knows how to win.
Peyton did it too.
Peyton also took some pay cuts. Yeah. He was never on top the most highest paid quarterbacks in the league for a reason, because those guys won.
And that's part of the reason why Peyton was let go, is that he was taking his mm-hmm. there, and that's why that was part of it.
But now you look at all these teams with the Kansas City paying Mahomes. They haven't won since that. You win usually with your quarterback on the rookie deal.
Rookie deal, or a quarterback has looked and said, you know what, I need some wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I can't do this by myself.
So the Colts are in a position, maybe they pull something out. But as of right now, if I was a betting man, which I'm not yet, I'm not right now, but I would say Garoppolo will be the quarterback next year for the Colts, as it looks right now. But Mariota is the guy I forgot to mention.
Right.
He's been linked here.
Right.
And that's a guy.
And that's a guy that apparently the Colts looked at previously, Marcus Mariota.
Well, they passed on him for a reason. I don't think he's that good. He's a guy who's a runner, and a runner first. And runner first quarterbacks don't make it far in the league if you're not Lamar Jackson. He's a guy whose arm has always been iffy, and he's injury prone. If you're going to get Mariota, you have to go get another guy, too. You got to get two of them. And if you get Jimmy G, I think you got to get another guy, too. I mean, if
he's been injury prone, too.
Even though he stayed healthy last year, he's
getting. He still had that ankle issue early on.
And Garoppolo, I looked back at his. I was watching his highlights last night because I like to watch film. He didn't look that bad. Like, he had some moments where, like, yeah, it's pretty good. But he had a really good supporting cast. He didn't have Jonathan Taylor, but he had Deebo Samuel, who is really good at the receiving room. A talented head coach in Shanahan. And Garoppolo was banged up. He was. He was banged up most of the season. And maybe if he just takes an off season, because this shoulder surgery is nowhere what Lux was. He's not getting the same thing Andrew did. But it's still shoulder surgery. And he's not going to be able to throw till training camp. I don't know. I'm gonna go. I think it's going to be Garoppolo. I think they're going to get him for a day three pick. It's what's being reported. So day three means 5, 6, 7. So if you can get him for a 5, I'll take it.
Well, and that would be a good deal.
Because you get rid of Wentz.
Right.
You get two twos.
Get rid of Wentz. You get rid of his salary.
And you bring in Garoppolo.
And you bring in Garoppolo, who's basically Wentz with a Super Bowl.
Basically, Wentz is a Super Bowl as a backup and a. One thing about Garoppolo
not winning a Super Bowl, but at least being in a Super Bowl.
Wentz has a Super Bowl, too.
But he didn't play at the Super Bowl.
Garoppolo didn't either. But he played in one.
Garoppolo played in a Super Bowl.
He played in one, but he didn't win. He won one in New
England. Right, but Wentz never played in that Super Bowl.
Garoppolo
was Nick Foles.
Yeah. Wentz,
and the Philly special.
Yeah, Wentz went out in week 15, I think.
Year. With a knee injury.
But Garoppolo is the guy who has a winning record in the playoffs. Like a solid, like last season, they went 2-1. Obviously, they lost in the NFC Championship game with a blowout. But not really a blowout, but Garoppolo lost that game. There's a couple plays that kind of remind me just of Carson Wentz. But
like the interception there at the end.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Trying to make something happen and threw it away.
I mean, Garoppolo's never played with a running back such as Jonathan Taylor. I think Jonathan Taylor's the premier.
You sound
back.
Like you're trying to talk yourself into this Garoppolo thing.
Oh, I'm trying to talk myself into anything available. I don't like anything there. If it was me, I would like Wentz back out of the available options. That's just how I personally feel. I'm going to have to talk myself into it.
Right.
Because I don't want Garoppolo here. I don't want Mariota here. None of the rookies, are, at least as I see it, look any good. Hey, I hope I'm wrong, but we'll see.
My phone. Goodness. Sorry about that.
Chris Ballard just telling you all this stuff. Hey, the Colts did sign Mo Alie-Cox back. Welcome back, Mo.
Yeah.
His tight end still massive need.
Chris Ballard telling me that he's still not signing any free agents. So there you go.
Minute updates.
Yeah.
No free agents.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe on our show Thursday, we'll have a free agent signing by the Colts. Probably not. But the Colts usually do sign people on the late day two, early day three. It's usually where they start to spend their little bit of money. I don't know. Maybe Ursay got his, like, the time change kind of threw him off. Maybe, like, he hasn't told Ballard to sign anyone yet.
Right, right.
I don't know. But we will see.
I mean, I think really, with the exception of the whole Carson Wentz thing that went down, I think that the flow chart from the Colts management wise goes through Chris Ballard first.
Oh yeah.
And then it branches off to, well, the owner's there. He's probably on that same branch, but Chris Ballard's, he's the guy for the Colts. And that's what I've always respected about Jim Irsay. He'll hire a guy and that's his guy. Bill Polian, Ryan Grigson. He's my guy. I may say some crazy things on Twitter or every once in a while stick my foot in my mouth in an interview, but that's the guy. And I think the exception to that was he stepped in and said, listen, this Wentz thing isn't working and it needs to stop.
And they did that.
But now it's like, now Chris Ballard has to figure out his way out of it.
So we will see what he's going to have to do, but that's going to wrap up the show. We talked earlier. You can hear it back on every podcast service. We're going to post it right after the show. Audio Boom. I think we're on iHeartRadio now.
Yeah.
Yeah, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all that. You can hear us. We did the whole entire March Madness bracket.
We did.
And we picked Gonzaga to win it all.
You can check out social media to see who we picked. So you can, you know, design your bracket after ours.
Yeah, maybe you could follow us, follow suit. Owen picked a couple few ones that we were a little questionable about, but majority rules in the world of the sports spotlight. But follow us on Twitter, the S_spotlight, and we'll see you next Thursday.